We appreciate everybody that's here, some of our guests that I've just met in the last few moments. We appreciate you so much for just coming. Kevin, it's good to see you. Text him yesterday, and him and Denise, so good to see you guys. Amen. And Stephen and Mary, they came. Yeah, praise God. It's so good. All of you, many of you, I don't get a chance to, you know, it's just a short break, and it's crowded, and so if I don't get a chance to say hi, it's not because I don't want to. So you're awesome, and I appreciate everyone that is watching this morning online across America and around the world. We've been getting an incredible amount of people responding to our services from different countries and writing in and talking about what these meetings have been meaning to them and our pursuit for a supernatural revival, and we appreciate you being a part of it with us. We're not going to take up an offering this morning or give you an opportunity other than just to say there will be a basket at the back door. Is there one back there, I guess? And if you're leaving, once you're, you know, if you have something to give, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for all of you that online and in here have supported this ministry together. You know, it's not my ministry, it's our ministry together. And we're seeking God for an outpouring. And we appreciate your faithfulness. You know, Pastor Dave, years ago, a man that I love and appreciate, many of you don't even know when I say Pastor Dave, Dave Roberson, but he wrote a little booklet, and then he preached. He talked about worship. Worship defeats poverty, and how that the way out of any financial problem is to first be very thankful, extremely thankful. And he would go on into sometimes animated demonstrations of how that if you had your last can of Spam in the pantry that you got down, or Beanie Weenies. I like Beanie Weenies. But you know, and get down and worship God almost in an exaggerative manner. As you well know, and I hope I'm not talking to any people in here, the world and many Christians have become so ungrateful. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. We've come up, and COVID just about ruined everybody. Now, don't take any exceptions. There are people in here that work from home, and that's fine with your business, and you can do whatever you do and make them money. But people want to sense, you know, they're putting this new task force in, and they found out that I've read this, and then I've heard it, but then I've also studied it, and I couldn't believe it. 1%, just 1% of all government paid employees in Washington come into work. Actually come in. They want to stay home in their pajamas, and they're telling them, no, the entitlements are over. And we've lived in an hour where we've all kind of gravitated to this, like, somebody owes me something. You know, really, nobody owes you anything except to love you. And if we have a grateful heart about everything, well, what are we grateful this morning? Mostly about Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank God for you being here and all of your support. We appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Our kids are getting ready next door, and it gives me an opportunity to say a few things. Hallelujah. So gratefulness, worship defeats poverty, and to have a grateful heart and to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You know, anything anybody ever gives me, I don't care if it's or sends into this church, if it's $5 or thousands, we're grateful. We're so grateful, and we appreciate gratefulness. And what does the word say? He says, the word says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, God, why are you standing over there, but you're not standing with this? I mean, he loves everybody the same, right? But it's like, you like to hang out with Bob. And even though, you know, I'm not grateful about anything, and Bob's grateful, but, you know, I'm just using this as a illustration. God says, no, I like to hang out with people that are grateful. Hallelujah. Would you just, maybe this is unfamiliar to some of you, but would you just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I was physically able to come here to this church service today. I was physically able to get out of bed and come here, Lord, and participate. Father, I thank you for our health, that we thank you for provisions. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got a few more minutes. I want to read something, and it'll take, I don't have my headset on, so I'm kind of, it's unfamiliar for me to have a handheld. So I think Robert stole that from me, you know, so that's fine. You're going to enjoy what they've got planned this morning, although I only know bits and pieces of it. But I want to read to you, just so we'll know we had some real kind of church today and scripture. I want to read to you my December letter. Now, I will say again, and we say this each time, we don't want to always read these letters. But if you're watching or in here and you want to get these letters, all you got to do is write our, you know, at our email address and just say, please send me your monthly letters. You don't have to give for these things. We never ask. We never ask for money, and we have not in 30 years. And hallelujah. Can you imagine? We've been here for 30 years. That's amazing, isn't it? 30 years. Like 27 or 20, almost 28 in this spot, two down there, really a little over 30, I think. But hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. We're not a fly by night. Amen. And I just expect another, maybe 50 years. So hallelujah. When are you going to retire? 120. Hallelujah. That's when I'll take, yeah. So who's going to be preaching when you're 100? Me. Who's going to be preaching when you're 110? Me. And I'll let some of these other guys too. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you, these letters, I will say this, they're not just, you know, snappy little encouragements like you'd read out of a Reader's Digest. To the glory of God, they're anointed and they're doctrinal. You can actually learn. We write these things so that you actually can learn, not just scripture, but the doctrine that's in that scripture. So let's give a listen, and we'll bring the kids over here in just a little bit. The title to this December letter was, He was the only begotten, but not the last begotten. And how many of you know I'm talking about Jesus? Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? I know you're wanting to get out there and get some food, but the more you say amen, the quicker I'll let you out. Amen. Smart. Somebody's smart. He was the only begotten, but not the last begotten. Dear whoever you are, dear Bronk to me, John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus will forever hold the title as the only begotten Son of God. This distinct honor goes to him and him alone, because he was the only man ever to be born from the womb of a woman spiritually alive. Adam was created directly by God, but fell to sin and became spiritually dead. Jesus was begotten by God in the womb of Mary and born spiritually alive. This gives him the distinct privilege and title as the only begotten Son of God. No man before or since has ever come out of the womb spiritually alive besides Jesus. Jesus' human spirit came from above. John 8:23 says, "And he said unto them, You're born from beneath, I'm born from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world." John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now, subtitle, he was made of flesh. Luke 1:26 says this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The Christmas gift began in the womb of a virgin. Everything about Jesus in his coming to earth was a miracle. From the moment the Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of Mary and created a body for Jesus until he drew his last breath on Calvary's cross, everything was the supernatural gift of God to mankind. Mary had no real idea who Jesus was, though it was told to her that he was the Son of God. There was no way for her to conceive that her son was God in the flesh. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And yet this only begotten Son of God would lay down all his qualities of his deity to serve God as a human being while living on this earth and with an earthly body. On this earth with an earthly body. Living in an earthly body, rather. Every war that Jesus ever fought against spiritual darkness, the temptation to sin, sickness, emotional depression, demonic spirits that came to stop him, was fought and won through Jesus, the man, born from above. The Amplified Version says this. I like the way they say it. "Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility." who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. In other words, he let it go. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, in which he became like a man and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme death, even the death of the cross. The shepherds that visited him on that first Christmas night had no real idea who they were looking at, although a large company of angels had heralded to them his coming and sent them to the stable of his birth. Luke 2:15-16 says this: And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And they had no idea that this approximately 8-pound baby boy was once the creator of the entire universe and would soon become the savior of the world. The very manger that he was lying in came from the molecules that he once created for wood. John 1:3 says, All things were made by him and for him, and was not anything made that was made. And without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says, For by him were all things made that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were made and created by him and for him. That's particularly talking of Jesus. The wise men that would visit him a little later, not at his birth, but a little later, in his childhood, and present to him gifts, still could not conceive of who he was. Matthew 2:1 says, And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Just a little bit more. Matthew 2:10-11 says, And they saw the star and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of the above verses encircle around God bringing the gift of eternal life into the earth through his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ child. But even though he was called the only begotten Son of God, he is not the last son or daughter to be begotten of God. John 1:18 says, No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Because the only begotten Son of God has declared him, you and I have been spiritually born again. We have become sons and daughters of God, born from above, because we have the same spiritual Father that Jesus has. We have been begotten of God. We did not come out of the womb begotten of God, but the moment we were born again, we became spiritual sons and daughters of God. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Amen. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 John 5:18, For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. If God had a Christmas tree, if he did. The gift that he had wrapped under it for mankind was his only begotten son in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. My gift, your gift, our gift to God under his Christmas tree as begotten sons of God is to offer our life and our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice of service for his kingdom. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now the conclusion. To all my fellow begotten sons and daughters of God, I hope you're all born again in here. You come, I'll say this, and for everyone that's watching, before I read this closing, your salvation today does not depend on joining a church, nor ever being baptized or christened by any preacher. No one can born you again except Jesus Christ. No one can pronounce you're born again except that you yourself accept him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. So I encourage all of you during this holiday season and during this Christmas season, if you've not made your peace with God, understand the simplicity of it starts with your commitment to Jesus Christ and his shed blood, believing that he did that for you and you alone, individually. To all my fellow begotten sons and daughters of God, may you have a wonderful and merry Christmas. May the joy of Christ, the Christ child, the only begotten Son of God, fill your home and life full of the joy of Christmas, knowing that we also have been begotten of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Mr. Harry, are they ready? Okay. You'll find out. Okay. Hallelujah. We're excited. I don't know. Do they need this here? Do you know? I don't know if you guys want to do that. I'm going to sit down because past this point, I don't know what I'm doing or what they're doing. So I guess Harry's going to bring some people in here. Amen. Okay.
Wash my sins away. To shepherds in the field, an angel came to say that Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem today. The shepherds ran to town, they hurried down the street, and when they found the Son of God, they worshipped at his feet. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to sing and praise our Savior born today. Hey, to my heart and wash my sins away.
Came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! I hear the angels singing. stars shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
Hello.
Good morning, guys, and Merry Christmas. Me, Drea, and Veronica have some good news to share with you.
Well, we got some good news and we got some bad news. The bad news is pretty soon we won't be in Sunday school with you guys anymore.
But the good news is we will be graduating to Big Church, but we want to make sure you guys know something really important before we leave.
The thing is, guys, Jesus, that little baby born in a manger, well, he grew up, and he wants to be your best friend. You can talk to him anytime you want about anything. The truth is, he wants to talk to you all the time.
That's right. You can talk to him about the great day you had or the really bad day you had. You can talk to him if you're scared, nervous, or just tell him you love him.
It's really exceptional because he always listens, and he always cares, and he always wants what's best for you. Also, if you always follow him, he'll never let you guys down.
Well, that's pretty much it. We're really going to miss hanging out with you in Sunday school, but we all gotta grow up sometime.
Yeah, you guys try to be good for Miss Davy and Miss Amber in there. I know it's hard sometimes, so they're both kind of crazy. But they're the pastor's kids. What can you expect, right?
Wait, isn't that both of your moms?
Shh.
Okay. We'll be praying for you guys, and we're totally gonna miss when you guys to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
Yeah,
totally. Well, good luck, and remember, Jesus loves you.
Deep in the woods, Bo and Bo are setting up for a bow hunt. Maybe.
Testing. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Dad jokes, Lord, I love them. Dad jokes, can't get enough of them. Ooh, dad jokes for me.
Hey, Bo.
Yeah, Bo.
Did I ever tell you that a cow assaulted me?
That sounds not good, Bo.
Yeah, how dare he?
Ah. Hey, what has five toes but isn't your foot?
Well, I don't know, what?
My foot.
Oh.
Dad jokes.
Lord, I love them. Dad jokes, can't get enough of them. Ooh-wee, dad jokes for me.
All right, Bo, let's settle down.
Okay.
All right, we're in deep.
deer territory right now.
Okay.
So we got to be quiet.
Okay.
We're going to get this deer.
Okay.
Okay?
Got to be real quiet, right?
Got to be real quiet. Hold the bow.
Yes. Yeah, hold that.
I'm going to start looking.
Hey, don't mess this up. Bow. Shh. Stop. Sorry.
We got to be quiet, Bo, I said.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bo. Hey, Bo.
I just stepped on a mic. What?
I know the best way to attract. I know the best way to attract buck.
How do you do that, Bo?
Yeah. It's with a really good, funny song.
That's not true,
that
Bo.
That we just wrote yesterday.
That's not true, Bo.
Ready?
No.
Hold on.
You gotta be quiet,
pick.
Bo.
Where'd my pick go? All right, let's
you
hit it.
Dad jokes,
no.
Lord, I love them. Dad jokes, can't get enough of them. Come on, do we?
No.
We? Dad jokes for me.
We're looking for deer.
Hey, Bo.
What?
What do you call two crows that stick together?
I don't know.
Velcro.
Stop.
Dad jokes.
Trying to find deer out here.
Okay.
We're going to find one.
Okay. Oh, don't mess this up.
Bo.
What?
I see one.
Okay.
It kind of looks like Pastor Bronk.
Okay.
He's big and bulky. I see one.
Don't mess this up.
Looks like a 12 point.
Okay.
All right. Bo.
What?
Bo me.
Bo you what?
Bo. Give me the bow, Bo.
The bow.
I can get this deer,
Bo. The bow and arrow. Okay, sorry about that.
I accidentally shot the arrow over there. Go get it.
Let me get that for you, Bo.
All right, we're going to get it.
Okay. Don't mess this up or Pastor's going to fire you. Be real quiet. You see him? I'm getting real nervous. I get nervous. I eat when I'm nervous.
Sorry. I get nervous. What? I already gave you the bow.
Next time I'm taking Steve.
Oh, okay.
Dad jokes. Lord, I love them. Dad jokes. Can't get enough of them. Ooh-wee, dad jokes for me.
Hey, Bo.
What, Bo?
What's red and bad for your teeth?
I don't know, Bo.
A brick.
Yeah. I got one.
Okay.
Why did the man fall down the well?
I don't know. Why did he fall down the well?
He couldn't see that well.
Dad jokes. Lord, I love them. Dad jokes. Can't get enough of them. Ooh-wee, dad jokes for me.
And so the two Bows and their bow returned home empty-handed, proving that sometimes the real challenge isn't the hunt, it's basic communication. Better luck next time, guys. Let's go back in time a few thousand years to the ancient lands of the East. Three wise men, Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior, are devoting their lives to the study of wisdom, the mysteries of the heavens, and the signs that foretell great events. Night after night, they gaze at the sky, charting the stars, and searching for meaning in their patterns. They did not yet know that their vigil would soon be rewarded, that the heavens themselves would reveal a message so extraordinary, it would send them on a journey that would be remembered for generations to come. And so our story begins on the evening of the discovery that would change our lives forever.
Holy night. Oh. I've checked every map. It doesn't belong to anything we've ever recorded.
Even Casper knows this is something extraordinary. We must follow.
But where would it lead us? It would take weeks, even months. And for what purpose?
There's an old prophecy that speaks of a star hardening, the birth of a great ruler. One who will bring peace to all the nations.
Peace to all nations? Isn't that worth the journey, Melchior?
Well, let's see how far it's talking. Here's my tablet. Yeah, Bethlehem is as far. All right, if a child indeed is special, then how should we prepare? We need gifts.
Oh, I already know what I'll bring. Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
No, that's gold. Never mind the Bitcoin. Gold is a better gift worthy of a king.
Then I'll bring Frankenstein, a symbol of holiness.
Frankenstein?
Don't you mean frankincense?
Oh yeah, frankincense. That's what I meant. Melchior, what about you?
Then I suppose I'll bring myrrh. Not exactly the jolliest gift, but fitting for one who would change the world.
Do we have everything, guys?
In honor of our journey, I made some new merch.
What is that?
Myrrh and gold.
You forgot the F from frankincense.
The MAGA. What does that stand for?
Stand for burn and gold.
Yes. Yes, but we must be cautious. There will be a desert, sun, long nights, and perhaps danger. But if a child is truly a light of all, then we will be worth every step.
Then, there's no time to lose. Brothers, gather your belongings and gifts.
And so the wise men came to the humble manger, where heaven touched earth and the greatest king was cradled in simplicity. They knelt in awe, offering their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, symbols of royalty, divinity, and sacrifice. Yet it was not their treasures that mattered most, but their hearts, filled with wonder and love. They had followed the star, and it had led them to the light of the world. As they departed, they carried with them not just the memories of what they had seen, but the hope of a promise fulfilled, salvation for all mankind, a Savior for the world. Please stand and join with us singing Joy to the World.
Hallelujah. Well, that was really good. I enjoyed it. And these, Gay, you want to give any instructions for outside? Or Marty, either one of you. Go ahead, Gay. Tell us what we're supposed to do.
Let's just wait out here, or wait inside and fellowship for a minute. And when we're ready, we'll walk out to the courtyard where the food will be served, and then we eat in the tent. There should be drinks and coolers at the tent, so you don't need a drink in the courtyard. You just wait till you get to the tent. And if you have gifts for the gift exchange, they go on the back table there. They'll get moved later. And if you haven't brought a gift because you weren't anticipating that, just let me know and we'll see. We have a few extra gifts, so just let me know that, okay? So we'll pray, and we'll just wait in here for a minute, and then Pastor will let you know when to go over to the tent.
Thanks, Kay. For everyone that's joined us online, I wish you were here today. I wish you could participate. I hope you enjoyed our Christmas service. And this is really just mainly a fellowship more than anything else in our time to be able to get together. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for all your gifts. If you have something to give when you're leaving, you can give that at the door. And everyone else, let's hang around for just a few moments. In 5 minutes, we'll be out there. And let's all, you can say seated or stand, I don't care, but let me just pray over the food. Father, thank you for this opportunity to fellowship. We pray that everybody will stay, whether they planned on being here for a fellowship or not, that they'll stay and just, Lord, enjoy the time together. And Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and everything that he's brought into our life during this holiday season, this Christmas season. Blessings on blessings on blessings to all your people and over the food and the fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You can stand and greet each other and just, it's okay for you to go outside, but it'll take us a few moments for us to get things together.